Hey there, welcome to Shoot the Flick. I'm Frankie Sparks.
And I'm Scott Eisenberg.
And we are a married couple who like to shoot the shit about movies.
That we do.
It's Valentine's Day, guys.
It's the candy. It's the flowers. It's the stuffed animals. You know what it is.
Oh, God. I kind of weirdly hope I don't get any of those things. I don't need a gift for Valentine's Day. I just need my hush beans.
Aww.
His presence is in itself a present.
Indeed.
Now, guys, let's just talk about some behind the scenes information before we talk about what movie we're doing today. So just to take you behind the curtain here, behind the curtain of The Wizard of Oz.
Pulling back the screen.
Yeah. Scott has been putting off doing this movie for as long as humanly possible. We are recording this on Super Bowl Sunday because it was literally the last possible moment we could watch it feasibly for me to edit the episode and get it out on time for Valentine's Day. So Scott is not gonna have a great time. But hey, it's Valentine's Day. Yay! Scott, what movie are we watching today?
Well, we went back down the Nicholas Sparks hole.
Ew. That sounds gross when you say it like that.
And we revisited 2004's The Notebook.
Yes, and it's celebrating its 20-year anniversary this year. Woo!
Ooh.
Scott hadn't seen this movie since he was like a young teen, so it really wasn't made for him at all. But I've seen it multiple times, but I hadn't seen it probably in a couple years at least, so I was happy to sit down and watch it again. Scott, tell us why you were so adamant on putting off the inevitable.
We've had this discussion that my father is a hopeless romantic.
Yes, yes. Your dad has already made it clear this is like his favorite romantic movie and he's happy we're doing it. So,
yes.
You're welcome.
He's in love with movies like this, like Titanic.
Yeah.
And I have nothing but disdain for Titanic. And I haven't watched it again in 20 years. And I was
since it came out,
basically.
Yeah.
So I was like, I didn't have great memories of it.
Mm-hmm. But I would think you could relate, seeing as how the movie is about, you know, two people who fell in love at a young age and then were separated for a few years and got back together and fell madly in love and were true love. I would think that you could relate to that given our history.
But in the same breath, I didn't remember really anything from this movie because I haven't watched it in 20 years. I remember the Ferris wheel.
Right. You said, I remember a Ferris wheel. And I was like, that's like one of the first scenes in the movie.
Like,
so.
I remember a Ferris wheel and I remember they're old and he's retelling the story.
Yes. The old couple aspect, which got me pretty down at the end.
Yeah. That's what I remembered. And that's kind of what happens when you're like, oh, yeah, I watched the movie once, didn't like it, and I didn't go back to it.
Right, that's fair, I guess. Well, the movie is still very popular and in the realm of conversation. Like we said, it's a movie that's based on a Nicholas Sparks book, which we did talk about, A Walk to Remember, at some point, and Scott didn't very much like that.
No.
But I will say that there is a Frankie Sparks, a patented Frankie Sparks formula for what makes a good Nicholas Sparks movie. In case you didn't know, it's, you know, chemistry plus some, in parentheses, realism equals happy smiley face. So like A Walk to Remember, I feel like this movie is one of the very few good Nicholas Sparks movies in that the two leads have a lot of chemistry together and there is that bit of realism because everyone's had a first love. Everyone's, well, not everyone, but I would hope that a lot of people have had a nice little summer romance that they can look back upon and with, you know, good thoughts and things. And that's what this movie is, basically. And then it gets sad at the end. And surprisingly, when we watched Titanic, it got me to a certain point where I actually did shed a tear in Titanic, which I wasn't expecting. And I was like half expecting, oh God, is The Notebook going to make me cry? I didn't cry. I wear that with a badge of honor. I did not cry, but I did get very mushy at the end.
She did. And she was mushy even afterwards.
Yeah. I was like, oh, meh. I was like, babe, would you love me if I was a bird?
And then I told her, you would hate being a bird.
I would hate being a bird. I'm scared of birds, but that's besides the point.
Can a bird be scared of itself? Is that the thing?
Sure. But yeah, this movie is super duper popular even to this day. It just recently started Broadway previews for its musical adaptation, because every movie that's popular has to at some point have a musical adaptation.
Sure.
And then one of our friends on Instagram mentioned that the musical, the Broadway musical adaptation, then will go backwards and have a movie version of the musical. So who knows? Maybe someday we'll get Notebook, the musical, the movie.
Is this what? So isn't this like The Color Purple?
Yes, yes. This is just like The Color Purple. Well,
no, because it wasn't it like a
the Color Purple was a book, then it became a movie, then it became a musical, and then the musical had a movie just recently. Yes, yes, it's just like that. But it made $118 million on its $29 million budget, and it won a shit ton of bullshit awards that year. It won a bunch of Teen Choice Awards. It very iconically won the MTV Movie Award for Best Kiss. One of like the biggest, most iconic moments of the MTV Movie Awards ever happened was when Rachel McAdams and Ryan Gosling accepted their Best Kiss Award by literally recreating the rain kiss from the movie. It was, you don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
Nope.
Oh, God, Scott, you're so uncultured. So, God damn it. Oh, it was so good. Such a good moment. Remember it.
So amazing.
It fucking is. Yeah. I think after this movie, they dated in real life for a while and then eventually obviously broke up, because now I think she's married to like a writer and he's married to Eva Mendes. So, I mean,
and he's just Ken.
He is just Ken.
Because I'm just Ken. Anywhere else I'd be a Ken. Is it my destiny to live and die a life of blood fragility?
As far as preliminary fun facts, it was directed by Nick Cassavetes, who also directed My Sister's Keeper, which is another really melodramatic kind of movie. I barely remember that. But he also directed John Q with Denzel, which is like a great fucking movie that I have to show Scott at some point, because it's not talked about enough, but it's really, really good.
Maybe one day we'll do Denzel month, because you got John Q and I have Deja Vu.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, maybe we'll do that at some point. Another thing that I think, well, I mean, Nicholas Sparks wrote the book, so I guess it's not egregious, but two dudes wrote the movie. Jeremy Levin, who also co-wrote My Sister's Keeper, and then Jan Sardi, who you think it's a lady, but it's not. It's a dude. And he's also an Oscar-nominated screenwriter. But yeah, you would think with such a chicky chick flick, there'd be one of those pesky women behind the scenes. But no, just a sausage fest.
Yeah, no pesky women in Hollywood. None. No.
No, we don't want you around. Fuck Greta Gerwig. No, I'm kidding. I'm sorry, Greta. I'm so sorry. It was a joke. I love you, Greta. I love you so much. Oh, you know what I wanted to mention, though, as far as its awards before we move on to like nitty gritty stuff? Because I feel like you'll find this, so enjoyable. So one of the Teen Choice Awards that The Notebook was nominated for was Best Dance Scene in a Movie. And they had the two of them dancing in the street as one of the nominees.
Okay, sure.
But it lost to the Napoleon Dynamite scene where he's dancing on the stage. Because you love Napoleon Dynamite so much, you've never seen it. Don't worry, I'm going to fix that. But
what? No.
I am. I totally am. I am. I haven't seen that probably since it came out, so it might not work out for either of us, but I'm going to fix it. I just thought that'd be really fun.
I still
for you
don't
to know.
Understand.
It's Teen Choice Awards, Scott. No. Obviously, it's a stupid award.
That,
but it's
that I understand.
What?
I still, to this day, don't understand how Napoleon Dynamite
became
this cultural touchstone.
All right,
everyone
let's save it for the episode.
God damn it.
But now we're definitely doing it. Like, I don't understand how it's such a cultural touchstone.
It is. I just
a
heard
cultural touchstone.
I just heard somebody yesterday on a podcast I was listening to talk about Uncle Rico.
Yeah.
Why is this stupid movie?
Tina.
Tina, you fat lard, come get some dinner.
I remember the Vote for Pedro shirts that were...
Yeah, no, babe, it's going to be fine. You're going to be okay.
No, I'm not.
You survived this. You actually, surprisingly, didn't complain as much as I thought you were going to while watching this.
Yeah, it's better than the other one.
Yeah, I mean, when we watched Walk to Remember, feel free to go back and listen to that episode, but, like, you just couldn't get off how douchey the main guy lead was.
Yeah.
But I feel like this one, the leads are both good. Like, I feel like Ryan Gosling and Rachel McAdams are really good together, and they have good chemistry and stuff.
They have good chemistry. Honestly, I went in with an open mind, and...
After I urged you, just let it happen
I
to you.
I always go in with an open mind. Except for Titanic, because Titanic has bad memories.
Yeah, okay. Well, so did this, apparently, but you were open.
Well, I was open. But, this didn't ruin Christmas.
Oh, my God. Feel free to listen to Titanic, too, for that one.
But this, I went in with an open mind, because I really didn't remember much. So I was like, okay. And it was fine.
Just fine.
Just fine.
Well, all right. Well, fine is better than nothing. All right. So let's get into the nitty gritty then, since it's all just so very fine for you and you have nothing to complain about.
Yeah, sure. Fine. Let's get into this nitty gritty.
Sure. Let's do it, Scott.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm sure I'll complain about something along the way.
I'll order you the fucking Broadway tickets right now while we're at it.
I'm okay.
Okay. So before we start with the actual romance, let's discuss the framing device for the movie, which is the old couple who is totally not our main couple. They're totally not the older versions of Ryan Gosling and Rachel McAdams.
No.
They really keep up that mystery. I feel like they really don't keep up the mystery at all.
Well, I think early on he calls her Addie.
Allie. Her name is Allie.
Whatever. It doesn't matter.
Yes, the main character's name doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Sure. But yeah, at one point early on, he calls her Allie outside of the story, and you're like, okay, so she's Allie. It's like,
I don't remember that. I thought they made a point to not do that because
he doesn't.
Noah calls himself Duke in the story.
Yeah, Noah calls himself Duke. Well, no, Noah calls himself Duke out of the story.
Yeah.
But he does call her Allie at some point.
I don't remember that, but okay.
And then they obviously give it away when the children show up.
But the premise of it is that Allie is an older woman played by Gina Rowlands, who is actually Nick Cassavetes' mom. But she's also an Oscar-nominated actor, along with the older version of Noah, who calls himself Duke to sort of assuage her dementia, because that's the thing. She's in a nursing home, Allie, because she has dementia and she sometimes gets confused and whatnot. So
yeah, she's...
Noah calls himself Duke to keep her from getting disoriented or freaked out.
Yeah, she's like almost completely forgotten anything about her life.
Yeah, she has like these tiny windows. But the older version of Noah is played by James Garner, who's also an Oscar-nominated actor. But he lives in the nursing home with his wife, Allie, and reads to her about their love story in an effort to get her to open up one of those brief windows of remembering their life together. And those windows are getting smaller and smaller as time goes on. So that's our framing device. And we go back and forth throughout the movie to the older versions of our main leads. But older Noah is telling the story of their love, and we flash back to a carnival on Seabrook Island in South Carolina in the year 1940, where Noah and Allie first meet. Noah is a lowly poor lumber mill worker, and Allie is a rich bitch
who's visiting for the summer.
Summer love.
Having a blast.
So Allie as we've said, is played by Rachel McAdams. She crazily did Mean Girls the same year as this movie, which is really funny to me because this character of Allie and Regina George couldn't be more different. But it's kind of funny. But we also have Noah, who's played by Ryan Gosling, Ken himself, my boy. And we've talked about him before because we've done Crazy Stupid Love on the show. We've done The Nice Guys.
Honestly, I know this is early in his career. I think he's just fine in this movie. Like, again, I talk about fine.
Mm-hmm. Fine. I say fine. You say fine.
Fine. Because Crazy Stupid Love, I think he finds something that's similar, but I think better. I used to only think like Ryan Gosling, oh, he's the hot guy. He's, you know.
How dare you.
Whatever. But I think as time has progressed, he has elevated his standing in Hollywood to being genuinely, I think, one of our better actors today.
Yeah, I mean, I think this was one of the first, I don't think it was his first role, definitely not, but it's one of his big roles that like really elevated him in the conversation.
The Ryan Gosling we see in like Nice Guys or even Ken or Nightcrawler or things like that.
He wasn't in Nightcrawler. That was Jake Gyllenhaal. That's your guy.
Sorry.
You love Jake Gyllenhaal.
I do love Jake Gyllenhaal. It's fine. It's white guys.
yeah, you know, they all look the same to me.
They all look the same.
Jesus. I'm keeping that in.
That's fine.
Can you name another Ryan Gosling movie off the top of your head? I'm just curious.
Damn it, one.
Do you remember what he got nominated for an Oscar for before Barbie?
Oh, God.
Emma Stone. Dancing.
Oh, La La Land.
There you go. You got there. All right. So you're bad at Ryan Gosling trivia. That's okay.
I probably...
Name seven Jake Gyllenhaal movies. Go.
Donnie Darko.
Oh, God. No. Okay. I didn't mean it. We'll have to do a Jake Gyllenhaal movie at some point so you can get your rocks off. But I'm a Gosling gal, so I stand by Gosling's performance in this movie. I think he's adorable. I like him when he has the little scruff and he's kind of a hot mess and he's losing his fucking mind. For some reason, that's even more attractive to me. That probably says more about me than it does about Gosling, but it's fine. It's totally fine. We get the aforementioned Ferris wheel scene that Scott remembers from his previous viewing, where at this carnival, you know, he's trying to flirt with Allie.
Oh, he's obsessed with her from like the minute he sees her.
Immediately Twitter. I will say, like, the beginning stuff where they're first meeting and first, like, he's first pursuing her is a little much.
A little?
It's a little, like.
A little?
It's a little creepy.
It's a lot creepy.
We get past that. It's fine. But yeah, he like jumps on the Ferris wheel and then hangs off of it, trying to like force her to go out with him. And he like lets go of an arm and is like just dangling there. Like, well, okay, I guess you won't go out with me. So, you know, and I'm like, no, finish that sentence. Noah, what are you going to do? You know, fucking throw yourself off this Ferris wheel?
For a girl you haven't
literally
even
just
met. You haven't even met. You said your name. She hasn't even told you her name. You haven't met this girl. You know nothing about her.
It's fine.
It's fine. Sure. She's surrounded by men, but you're going to be the guy.
You're the guy. He's the guy.
He's the guy. Yeah, you know.
He's just Ken. He can't help it.
But yes, he's immediately obsessed. And his friend and her friend immediately were like, let's take the obsessed guy.
Yeah, and put them on a double date with us and get them together.
Which sounds fucked up, too.
It's not. Okay, hold on.
Hey. You know what? Let's take your best friend who's being this guy who's really obsessed with your best friend.
Okay.
But the friend vouches
for him, though. He's a good guy.
He's a good guy. But he's super obsessed with your best friend.
Okay.
Let's hook them up.
Obsessed is a word that is a little harsh. He likes her.
He hung from a fucking Ferris wheel.
Yeah, and then he, like, tracked her down in the street and was like, when I want something, I gotta have it. I was like, whoa, man. Okay.
Obsession.
Okay, that's fine. But, you know, then they go on a date and they're okay, and then they walk home to she likes him. She's just playing hard to get.
Oh, yes.
So then they have the cute little scene in the street where they're walking,
yes,
just the two of them, and they're getting to know each other. He's very carefree, it seems, Noah, and he just kind of lays down in the middle of the street of this intersection and is like, lay down in the street with me. And then she lays down and she's like, what'll happen if a car comes? And he just goes, we die. Which, that's my kind of humor. I appreciate that.
And then the car comes, they immediately get out of the road, and she can't stop laughing.
Because she, you know, she is rich, stuck-up girl, so she's very regimented, you know, she's sheltered, so any spontaneity or whatever, she really is into that. So she's into him, and they start dancing in the street together, slow dancing, and it's very cute. Ryan Gosling is singing, not really singing, but he's just kind of like humming or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and she's like, you're a terrible singer. And I'm like, oh, how dare you? I was on the Mickey Mouse Club. I have an Oscar-nominated song, bitch. But yeah, they start their romance. We get kind of a montage of them just being together, young and in love. We get the bird scene. Which, if you don't know what that is, they're on a beach and Rachel McAdams is being weird, flapping around like a bird. And she's like, say I'm a bird. Which, this whole scene is the dumbest in the movie, I'll say.
Oh,
the
it's incredibly stupid.
She's like, no, say I'm a bird. He's like, no.
It's like, I don't know why, but this has become popular nowadays for random like couples to be like,
because it's funny.
Yeah, but it's so stupid. Would you love me if I was a worm?
Yeah, it was giving that energy.
And you're like, what the fuck? What?
Well, Scott, here's the $1 million question. Oh, God, on Valentine's Day.
We're not, no.
Would you love me if I was a worm?
I'm not answering this question.
Would you though?
I'm not answering this question.
Oh, so you don't love me then?
I love you very much. I'm not answering your question.
But what if I was a worm?
You're not a worm.
Rachel McAdams?
If you were Rachel McAdams, you probably wouldn't give me the time of day.
Aw, don't say that. I would love you. Even if I was Rachel McAdams. Oh, God. Yeah, it's really dumb. And then she, like, jumps into his arms. And Ryan Gosling goes, well, if you're a bird, I'm a bird. And I'm like, oh, my God. Okay, let's move on from the scene.
Caw. Yeah, I kept doing every time they brought up like birds or birds showed up. I kept doing like the angels in the outfield thing.
Like the flap. I was like, okay. It happened at the end of the movie too, like in the most like sad part of the movie. Like that's the last shot is birds flying and Scott's just doing that. And I'm like, you fucking asshole. I'm having a moment over here. But yeah, I would say that Rachel McAdams and Ryan Gosling, even though there was word that they didn't get along on set at that time when they were filming it, I think they had good chemistry, which probably would explain why they dated afterwards for a while. But
yeah,
I think their chemistry is sweet.
Yeah, their chemistry, again, it's fine.
There were other casting choices floating around in this movie. Do we have to do a whole... It's the cast. Could have been. It's fine. But I do want to talk about it because Ryan Gosling was always the first choice.
Oh, okay.
From Nick Cassavetes. However, the rights to the book were bought back in the 90s.
Mm.
I think by Spielberg. He was interested in doing it, I think. But he expressed that he was interested in having Tom Cruise play Noah. Now, this is back in the 90s, but no. No.
I can't. I've never imagined Tom Cruise. Like, he's been involved in romances in movies, but
right.
Like, it's never like the highlight of the movie where you're
well, certainly not in Top Gun. We talked about Top Gun. I was like,
that's true.
This romance is nothing. Like, so I can't see it. I think Ryan Gosling did a great job. Personally, I know Scott's on the fence. He's wishing it was Jake Gyllenhaal, but
well,
that's fine.
Yes, I always wish it's Jake Gyllenhaal.
But while Gosling was always Cassavetes' first choice, there were a few women in the running for Allie. Obviously, Rachel McAdams won out, But I know Reese Witherspoon was supposedly also under consideration.
That's not shocking.
Kind of makes sense. The most interesting one, I think, is there is evidence of this online of her auditioning. Britney Spears. It would have been a nice little Mickey Mouse reunion for her and Ryan Gosling.
Because, you know, Britney's acting career is vast.
Well, I think this had to be around the time she did Crossroads. I'm sure you've never seen Crossroads.
Nope.
It was, it's like, it's also a very chick flick. I haven't seen that in a long time. But I used to love it because I loved Britney Spears when I was younger. So, yeah, I mean, she was, I think she was trying to beef up her acting career at that time.
Well, yeah, because, you know, everybody wants to be Madonna.
Yeah.
And Cher.
And now Lady Gaga.
And it's now the Gaga.
But yeah, according to Britney, I think she was the second choice.
Yeah, they probably would have made the movie.
It would have been interesting. It would have probably made even more money.
It probably would have made more money, but the movie would have probably been worse. We probably would be talking about it in the same vein as, like, from Justin to Kelly. And
I mean,
like,
maybe. I mean, I'll say this. Like, Rachel McAdams cries a lot in this movie. And I don't know if Britney's got that in her, at least not in, like, the 2000s as, like, an actor. Like, if she has it in her to be that emotional. Because she cries a lot, Rachel McAdams, but it never feels like she's full of shit. Like, it feels genuine from her.
Yeah.
Like, I would say most of her performances that I've seen her in, she just seems terribly genuine. I think in a different multiverse where Britney Spears played Allie, I think it would have been interesting to see what she would have brought. Now, we're getting, like, towards the end of the summer here.
We're both meeting families. Like, his father loves her.
Yeah, he's very nice.
And then he takes her home late one night, and we meet her father, who's like, you should bring him for dinner, with his incredibly fake mustache.
Yes, it's like twirly mustache.
It looks so... every time he's on screen with this mustache, which thank God it's only three times in this movie, it looks so fake. It's so distracting. I'm like, just don't do the mustache.
I mean, I don't think it... I mean, it's supposed to be like a symbol of opulence,
think. I understand what it's meant to do.
Right.
But it looks... so fake.
Yeah. Well, sure.
Like, you could have just hired an actor who can grow a mustache.
I mean, you could have, but then we wouldn't have this exchange right now. So Allie's parents, the mustachioed father and Joan Allen mother, they both disapprove of Noah because he's poor.
He only makes 40 cents an hour.
Ugh. So, towards the end of the summer, there's one night where Noah takes Allie to this abandoned plantation called Windsor Plantation. And it's like a piece of shit house. And it's huge, but it's a piece of shit and it's run down. And Noah's like, one day I'm going to buy this place and fix it up. And it's going to be a huge deal.
Let's have sex in an abandoned house.
All right. It happens a little more organically than that.
Then
they get a little cutesy and kissy, and she says she wants to make love.
What's with teens in abandoned places wanting to have sex?
That is a trope, isn't it? I mean, it's usually in, like, horror movies, but it is a thing that happens.
We either break into somebody else's house, or we go to someplace abandoned to have sex.
Yeah, well, I mean, teens are a little shortchanged on places to fuck. They can't exactly go home to their parents' house and fuck in the queen-size bed. Well, of course they have a queen-size bed. They're rich.
Oh, yes.
They have a king-size, damn it. A California king.
Yes, a California king.
I actually really liked this scene where they are about to have sex for the first time, because it's... Allie's 17, she's a virgin, and she's incredibly nervous, and she plays that really well and really realistically. And thankfully, Noah's one of the good guys, so he's very understanding and sweet with her. And I just think it's another, like, shot of realism in the movie, and it's sweet. I mean, obviously, a lot of these Nicholas Sparks movies, one of the common complaints is that they give unrealistic expectations of what relationships are like, which I will concur to a certain extent, but I feel like this movie doesn't have that.
Yeah, it's definitely more realistic. it's just funny. Like, what are you thinking about right now?
Yeah, I think any girl who has been in a situation where she's about to lose her virginity can understand, like, the frenetic feeling she's having, and it's not related.
Yes, I'm not disagreeing with you. It's just funny.
It was funny.
Because he's looking at her and going,
he's like, are you okay? Are you sure? Yeah, no, I'm fine. And then he goes in to kiss her, and he's like, but what are you thinking about right now? And he's like, okay, I'm getting up now.
There's a point where they're both taking off their clothes, just staring at each other. And he takes off his underwear, and Rachel McAdams gives these, because she has these wide eyes. It's almost like crazy person eyes if you were like in a movie.
It wasn't that bad.
No, they were like popping
like
out of her head.
Roger Rabbit.
They were like Roger Rabbit.
Oh my God. Okay. It really wasn't. He's got a big dick, let's be honest.
Of course, Ryan.
We all know Ryan Gosling's got a big dick. Eva Mendes, God bless. But yeah, so they are about to finally do the deed. And then Noah's best friend runs in and is like, oh my God, Allie's parents are calling the cops. They have everybody out looking for her. You got to get her out of here. So Noah takes her home and her parents are like reaming her. Like, you can't ever see this boy again. He's a nice boy, but he's trash. He's trash, I tell you.
He's trailer park.
And Noah leaves kind of dejected and sad, and she runs after him and they ended up having a fight because he tries to break up with her, and then she gets pissed off at him for trying to break up with her, so she breaks up with him, and it's a whole fight. And then he drives off and she immediately regrets it. And the next day her parents are like, we're going back to Charleston, where we live, where us rich people reside.
Well, not only that, but like, they're forcing her to go to school in the Bronx.
Oh yeah, that's another thing. She's going to New York to go to school after the summer. So that's what Noah was like, I mean, this isn't going to work anyway. You're leaving, you're going to New York. And she's like, you could come with me. And he's like, what am I going to do in New York?
Construction, just like you do when you go to Atlanta.
I mean, yeah, you could. I mean, not for nothing, but they break up and it's sad. And the next day before they leave, she runs to the lumberyard and Noah's not there. So she tells the best friend, just tell him I love him and I'm sorry and blah, blah, blah. And then she leaves. They just miss each other because then Noah comes back and he goes to the house to try to catch her and she's gone already. And that's it. The summer romance is dead.
Yes, it got cold out. The boys of summer are no more.
Oh, God. Okay.
But yes, he immediately like drives over to their place and like crashes into the rich person's gate. Your 40 cents an hour is going to take forever to pay for that gate to be fixed.
But it doesn't matter, Scott. It was for true love.
But yes, I do want to bring up here, the person who's really diehard about her not being with Noah is the mother. And we're supposed to have this big turnaround with her at the end, but she sucks.
Yeah, she sucks as a character. I mean, Joan Allen's fine. She's always, you know, a solid actor. But
yes, I'm not talking about Joan Allen,
actor.
Yes,
we're talking about the mom. The mom sucks. Because for the next year after Allie leaves, Noah attempts to write letters to her.
He writes one letter a day for 366 days.
65. What is wrong with you? Did you go to school?
He writes for 1 year and then he writes one more to end it on the 366th day. So 366 letters.
You think you're so fucking clever, don't you?
That's what was said in the movie.
In the rain scene, which we'll get to, obviously, he says, I wrote you every day for a year.
And a day.
No, he didn't say it a day. He said, I wrote you every day for a year. Don't fucking quiz me on that fucking scene, Scott. I know that scene. Every woman who's seen that movie knows that scene.
Fine.
Yeah, you're fine. Right. You're right, it's fine. It's fine, and it's fine. Now, some years pass because the letters are getting intercepted by the mom, which is why she's an asshole. But after Noah attempts to just kind of let go and move on,
he gets drafted.
I think they actually enlist. I don't think they get drafted.
Oh, fine. It's, yeah.
But anyway, they go to fucking war. That's the point.
Yes.
Scott was very confused because we established that we were in the 40s and somehow he was confused that World War II was in this movie.
Well, I feel like this is a thing for Nicholas Sparks. He likes to drop in like, oh, this crazy thing that, you know, this
the
world
war
event.
Stuff is really not inconsequential. And like it, they do a war scene where it's like the Battle of the Bulge and the friend dies and it's supposed to be like this really sad thing.
It's fun.
But it happens in the blink of an eye.
It happens in the blink of the eye. And during the war scene where they're being shot, Ryan Gosling kind of has this doofy smile on his face.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, he has a doofy smile on his face.
You have a doofy smile, but we keep you around.
That's fine. I'm allowed to have a doofy smile. I'm not an award-winning actor.
I thought you were going to say, I'm not in World War II.
That's also true. Neither was Ryan Gosling.
Well, that's true, but that's why he's an actor, I guess. But yeah, it was kind of like a 99-cent war scene. It was stupid, but we had to establish that his friend died.
Yes, we had to establish that.
I guess so. And then Allie, meanwhile, she goes to college, but then in her third year of college, she goes to be a nurse for wounded soldiers.
Yeah, and her parents are fine with that.
I guess. I don't know. I mean, it's a really nice and lovely thing to do that I would assume doesn't pay for shit, so I'm sure they weren't pleased about it, but that's too bad.
And she meets James Marsden.
Oh boy, surprisingly, the thing that Scott complained about the most in this movie was just the mere presence of James Marsden, and I really didn't understand why you were so mean to him.
James Marsden is the equivalent of Wonder Bread. There's always, like, a better guy. There's, in this movie, it's Ryan Gosling. Well, in X-Men, it's Hugh Jackman.
Okay.
It's just James Marsden.
Okay, I'll say this. They obviously set James Marsden up, and his character's name is Lon, by the way.
Which, easy. It's you know.
Sure, it's like a typical boring white guy name, but, you know, it's fine. But they definitely set him up to be like the cookie cutter good guy who was also rich. Like, Lon isn't an asshole. So, yeah, she eventually gets with Lon. They get engaged, but
her parents are happy.
Her parents are happy because he's fucking rich. But apparently, according to the narration from older Noah, who's reading a book, mind you, that was written by older Allie. So this is technically from Allie's perspective. When Lon proposed to Allie, she was thinking of Noah. So years are passing here. And when Noah gets out of the war, he goes home to his dad, who actually sold his house to give Noah more money to buy the Windsor plantation so he could fix it up and do all that stuff that he said he was going to do. And he does just that. Unfortunately, his dad passes away in the midst of all that, but he does eventually fix up the house, fix up the plantation. It looks really nice, and he is putting off selling it for reasons.
He grows a goatee.
Oh, no, not a goatee. Just a full ass, shaggy ass, I'm losing my fucking mind beard. I'm scruffy and I love it beard. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And then you wonder why I like your scruffy ass beard. Say thank you to Ryan Gosling.
Wait, I have to say thank you to Ryan Gosling. I have to say thank you to Ewan McGregor.
Yes. And Phoebus from Hunchback of Notre Dame. These are the men that have influenced my life in media. You're welcome. So Noah goes into Charleston to get some like permit or something. I don't know. And he sees Allie and he jumps off a moving bus to chase after her. And he looks outside of like a restaurant and sees her with Lon. And he kind of loses his fucking mind. He's like, I'm going to build this house. And then someday, Allie will come back to me. And he's like, he admits in the narration that like, yeah, no, I went a little crazy, but it's fine. It's totally fine. I'm fine now.
Just a little crazy.
Crazy Noah / crazy Ryan Gosling is hot. Let's be real.
Yeah, hot. You know, chasing people off his land with a shotgun, you know?
Hot.
That's a weird thing to say hot to there. We'll let it go.
It's fine. I have a sick way about me, but it's okay. So when the house is finished, it's such a big deal in the town. It actually makes the newspaper. And Allie is in some dress shop looking at wedding dresses with a bunch of hens. Pick a little, talk a little, cheep, cheep, cheep.
Yes.
And she looks at the paper and she literally passes out.
Yes, she passes out and then immediately decides she's going to go to Lon, tell him that she's got to go. I gotta get away. She's gotta get out of here.
And she goes back to Seabrook, knowing full well that she's gonna end up being with Noah, and it's fine.
She's gotta go, and Lon's like, should I be worried? And me and Frankie look at it.
Yes.
And said, yes.
Absolutely. But of course, Allie says, no, everything's fine.
It's okay. It's all gonna be okay.
And she goes to the house and sees Noah, and there's a lot of sexual tension. They have a meal together.
She crashes her car.
Yeah, because she's so very nervous. You know, me girl. Anxiety. But there's a definite sexual romantic tension there. And then she comes back the next day and he takes her out on this lake. It's like very pretty and there's a bunch of duckies and she's feeding the duckies and then they get caught in the rain and here we fucking go, guys. It's the fucking rain scene. It's the scene in the movie. He takes her back to the dock. She immediately gets off and starts walking away. And it's pouring down rain because drama, right? And she's like, why didn't you write me?
I waited for you for 7 years. And now it's too late.
I wrote you 365 letters. I wrote you every day for a year.
You wrote me?
Yes. It still isn't over.
And he makes out with her and it's fucking hot,
and then he carries her up the stairs.
Takes her back to the house.
It carries her up the stairs, not falling once.
No, she like literally takes his pants off, and I'm pretty sure his pants are around his waist the entire time up the stairs. I don't know
which
I wasn't looking at his fucking shoes, let's put it that way. So he takes her up the stairs, plops her down on the bed, and they start just going at it, right? And there's a scene where Rachel McAdams puts her leg on Ryan Gosling's shoulder, and he daintily and delicately takes off her stockings. And Scott said, like, the funniest thing. He's just like,
one pantyhose?
Two pantyhose. And I'm like, I don't think pantyhose is the singular word for pantyhose. Pantyhose isn't like it's not hose like H-O-E-S. It's I also don't think they're pantyhose because
they're stockings. It's fine.
Pantyhose. This is totally not important, but for guys out there that care so much, pantyhose actually are like pants, but they're stockings that are pants, essentially. They go around your waist and they connect. Stockings are just one stocking, two stocking. But I just found the fact that he called them pantyhose the funniest thing I've ever heard. That's why we love Scott.
It was late.
It was late, but not that late.
It was late enough.
Okay. Okay, pantyhoe. So they fuck. They fuck lots. Because literally the next morning, Ryan Gosling's like, oh my God, I need to sleep, woman. Leave me alone. Allie's just having like a existential crisis, essentially, the next day. She doesn't know what to do, really. She ends up talking to her mom because her mom comes to the house. This is where we get like the oh woe is Joan Allen part of the movie where she's like, I loved a poor man once and we ran away together and then I married your father.
But I love him. I love him so much.
I love him so much.
You know, I'll just come down to this random place where this guy still works and I'll just stare at
this random guy.
That's not awkward at all.
With my daughter in the car with, yeah, I don't know. It's weird. But it's supposed to make us empathize with her or whatever.
No, it doesn't.
Not really. But she gives Allie the letters and says, like, you know, hope you make the right choice. But it's unclear what she thinks the right choice is.
No, it is very clear what she thinks the right choice is.
I don't think so, because she's in the car when she goes to see the guy and she's crying.
That's fine. She thinks the right choice is Lon. There's no ifs, ands, ifs, or buts about it. She knows, because she's like, your father really loves me. He takes care of me. No, the right choice for her is to stay fucking rich. She's a bitch.
She's the 1%. But yeah, so she is kind of having this existential crisis, and she goes back to Noah and they're talking about it, and she's like, I don't really know what to do. And he's like, are you fucking kidding me, lady? Like, what? We just fucked for like 2 days straight. Are you serious?
Not only that, I cut out a bunch of arrows. I went and
He cut out like paper arrows to point to like her painting room that he made for her, like on this balcony, and it was very cute. But it's one of those scenes in romantic movies where you think about the effort that was put in, because she wakes up in bed to this like flowers in a note saying like follow the arrows to find a surprise, and there's these paper arrows cut out on the floor, and you're like, so while she was sleeping, was he just like on the side cutting out pieces of paper?
He's got like safety, and every time he makes a cut in paper, he's like
looking over.
that making enough noise. Good. Okay, next cut.
Yeah, it's like silly, but it's cute. It's fine. The best scenes are when they're really like just talking to each other, and whether it's fighting or romantic stuff, it's even the fight. This particular fight, I think, is pretty romantic, because he's just like, stop thinking about what everybody else wants. What do you want? It's that scene that everybody makes fun of, because he just keeps saying, what do you want? Just say what the fuck you want, woman.
What do you want? What do you want?
It's not that simple.
Do you want?
What do you want to eat? God damn it. There's a burger place. There's a Mexican. What do you want to eat?
Oh, God. But yeah, so she's confused and she's upset. She's like, I have to go to see Lon and at least talk to Lon. Because Lon is here. Lon is in town,
yes,
staying at a hotel, because I think the mom said that her dad
spilled the beans
about Noah to Lon. So she goes to see Lon, and before that, she's really crying and upset, and she's sitting in the car, and she reads the last letter that Noah sent to her. And it's very sad, very romantical and things, but she goes in to finally talk to Lon, and it makes it more annoying because he is a good guy. Because he's like, I could kill this guy, I could beat the shit out of him, or I could just fucking leave you. And I don't want to do any of those things, because none of them will give me you. I love you and I still want to be with you. And she basically says it outright. She's like, when I'm with you, I feel like one person. When I'm with Noah, I feel like another person. So she ultimately goes with her heart and chooses Noah.
And gets excommunicated by her family.
I don't think that's what happens.
Yeah,
I doubt it. But
we never see him again.
Okay. But what I do love about the fight scenes between Noah and Allie is, like, I like the speech with her where he's like, yeah, you know, I'm not afraid of hurting your feelings. I can be a son of a bitch and you can be a pain in the ass. And I'll tell you when you're being a pain in the ass. And I'm like, all right, that's kind of hot. Yeah.
Frankie wants Ryan Gosling to call her a pain in the ass.
I mean, I really do. I mean, you've called me a pain in the ass, and, you know, yeah. I'm down for it. Because I can be a pain in the ass. And you could be an asshole.
That's true.
But we still love each other.
Indeed.
So we kind of cut back here to the framing device. This is when we really kind of switch over.
Yes, because now she's with him. So we're done with the notebook.
Yeah, Allie ultimately returns to Noah, and when we go back to the older versions of them, Noah has sort of set up this, like, romantical, like, candlelit dinner thing, and it's very sweet, and she has that brief window of time where she remembers, and she breaks down, she's like, it was us, and they have this really sweet reunion, and they dance together, but then she quickly relapses, and kind of freaks out, and she has to be sedated, and Noah's upset, and he eventually has a heart attack, which is like, Jesus Christ.
But then she has clarity in his heart attack, and then he goes to her in her bed.
Yeah, he like comes back from the hospital and like sneaks in her room, and nurse is like, I'm gonna go get a cup of coffee, honey. Don't do anything stupid while I'm gone, like potentially upset our dementia patients. She goes and gets coffee. So this whole part, okay, this is like the really melodramatic part of the movie. Because it's a sad ending, but it's also a happy ending, because they ultimately die together.
Yeah, you know.
The nurse finds them the next morning, lying in bed together, holding hands, and they're both dead.
Yes, you know, they fly off into the sky.
Right, like birds, yes.
Like,
because if she's a bird, guess what he is?
A bird.
A fucking bird. That's right, bitch.
Or, you know, they could be both be in a car.
Flying. Right, flying into outer space like Danny and Sandy, right. Or they could be both going to college together like in High School Musical 3. Because it's all the fucking same. Like, this is the point where I was the saddest in the movie. If a tear were to be shed, it would have been in this part of the movie. Because, yeah, he just constantly is like, I'm never going to leave you. And she's like, what happens if I forget everything? And he's like, I still won't leave you. I'll be here. Don't worry. And, yeah, they... Can our love perform miracles? Do you think our love will take us out together? And then it fucking does. So, yeah. It's sad. And then, you know, once they die and we get the fucking thing with the birds, then, yeah, they're dead. And,
squawk!
They don't squawk. That would be kind of anti... It would be against the tone, I think, a little bit if they squawked. But they...
But they're birds.
The movie ends on, like, that sad note, but it's kind of, like, a sad... I would still say it's a overall, like... happy feel-good movie because it's this great love story, but it does end on a very maudlin note with them both dying and all.
Yep.
So yeah, like I said, I mean, outside of James Marsden's mere existence, Scott really didn't complain that much. If anything, it just pissed me off because there was a particular point, because there are points in the movie where really romantic serious things are happening and he would either talk or he would burp or fart or some bullshit. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? But particularly in this part, I think it was like when they were having their conversation, when he snuck into her room, like right before they die fucking together. He like burps. And I'm like, they're having a conversation. But other than that.
Other than that.
It didn't seem like you were angry at the movie, but it didn't seem like you were very moved by it either.
Yeah. Hence the word. Fine.
Damn. All right. So, okay.
Which we probably, you know what? For people who hate this movie, they probably are against me because I'm like, it's fine. And for people who love this movie, they're mad at me because I think it's fine.
Yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at. You know? I mean, to be fair,
I don't win.
I wasn't expecting you to really like it or anything. If anything, I was expecting you to be more Titanic about it.
No, Titanic's worse.
Or Walk to Remember.
Both of those are worse.
But I'm glad that you were okay with it. That's good.
Yeah.
I would have just thought, considering our history of falling in love at a very young age, and you can roll your eyes if you want to. Why are you rolling your eyes? Did we not fall in love together?
We did fall in love again.
When we were very young as teenagers.
You did this in High School Musical, too. Don't you see us, them? Don't you see us, Scott?
Okay.
Come on.
Okay, but I would say this is more romantic than High School Musical.
Yes. Because, you know, one of us was rich and one of us was poor.
Okay.
And,
well,
you know, it
okay, it's not exactly our story, dude, but like...
And one of us is going to have dementia, probably.
I'm sorry. Were you complaining when I was all mushy-gushy with you last night after the movie? Right, okay. So then I would just shut the fuck up about it. So if you had a choice to watch this or Titanic or Walk to Remember, give me your ranking. Okay, you'd watch this. So it's this, Titanic or Walk to Remember, second. Should I throw High School Musical in there since you're shitting on that too?
I'd probably say High School Musical would be too.
That's hilarious. Okay. So if gun to your head, you have to watch A Walk to Remember again or Titanic, which one would you watch?
I guess A Walk to Remember.
It's shorter.
Yeah, that's
it's
that's,
shorter by a merry mile.
That's probably why I would choose A Walk to Remember.
All right, that's fair.
The pain would be over a lot quicker.
So as far as Valentine's Day movies, obviously this wouldn't be on the top of your list.
No.
What would be, you think?
Like movies like Notting Hill. Like I need a twinge of comedy.
You need a comedic element.
I need something to laugh about. Stuff like that. Like, give me those type of movies, because I'll take a rom-com any day over
50 First Dates.
Yeah, I'll do 50 First Dates. I'll do a Wedding Singer. I'll do, you know, those are fun. Like, they have their sappy shit, but again, it's not just the sappy shit.
Yeah, this is pretty much all sappy shit, so I get it. Luckily for you, Scott, I have seen no other Nicholas Sparks movies, so I think you're safe for the foreseeable future when it comes to Nicholas Sparks.
Hallelujah. I'm like Nick Cage in Face Off during the scene where he's the priest. He's
Ew, don't say that. Ew, gross. Okay. So that was our Valentine's Day episode. For those of you who love The Notebook or hate The Notebook and want to beat up Scott, our address is...
Bring it on, motherfuckers. Bring it on.
No, I think you were fair. That's fine. So, Scott, what did you rate The Notebook?
I gave it a 3 out of 5.
Okay.
It's.
I think before it was like a 2 or 2.5,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was like 2.5.
Okay, so you bumped it up. That's good.
It's a movie I could rewatch again and be like, okay, cool.
Okay, good for me then, because I have this as a 3.5 out of 5. It's a solid romantic movie. We love some Ryan Gosling. We love the rain scene. It's iconic as fuck. The MTV awards say so. And we know that
are
MTV,
those still a thing?
MTV is gospel. I think so.
Jesus Christ.
I think so. Who fucking cares, though?
I won the Spaceman Award.
Do you?
I would like a side. Imagine having
a... Do you want a Kids' Choice Award, too?
Sure, I'll take an orange blimp.
Okay, so this has been our Valentine's Day special. And next week, Scotty is going to be showing me a movie that is very popular and that I've always wanted to see, but I think I tried once to pull the trigger and gave up. So I am now going to do it again, and I'm going to get through it this time.
Yes, we're going back a little bit from this movie, so we're going
just a little bit,
just a little bit, a hop and a skip back.
Yeah, but I'm excited for it. So until then, this has been Shoot the Flick. I'm Frankie Sparks,
and I'm Scott Eisenberg.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Make sure you give some love to your significant other today, and if you don't have a significant other, that's okay. Don't
self-love
worry
is
about
great
it. Self-love is great. All right, what way do you mean it? make sure you check us out on Instagram and Twitter at Shoot the Flick, and check out all of our episodes on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and iHeartRadio, and pretty much anywhere else you can find a podcast. Now that we're talking about all these romantic lovey-dovey movies that we've done in the past as well, I might make a little playlist for everybody to check out all of our lovey-dovey movie episodes. Keep your eyes open for that. But make sure you come back next week for our historic, action-packed movie adventure.
Now, if I was a bird,
I would not be a bird. I would be something else. I would be a worm, maybe.
A worm, a bird, fly, fly, eagle, fly.